This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of LabCast. Today, we are joined by OpenView founder Scott Maxwell to talk about our latest ebook, Get Better Faster, The Ultimate Guide to the Practice of Retrospectives. Scott, thanks for being here and taking the time to talk to us about this.
Sure.
Get better faster, that sounds great to a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people check that out and be like, sure, I'd like to get better faster. But the practice of retrospectives might be a little foreign to some people. Not everyone's really familiar with that. What can you tell us as far as, you know, where the practice of retrospectives comes from, the background, and sort of the benefits that it can provide?
Well, I think most really great organizations, great people, great teams practice this in a, at least an informal basis of just looking back in time and thinking through what happened, why did it happen, what did we want to happen, what were the differences, and try to get the learning associated with whatever action just took place. It could be as simple as a salesperson makes a phone call, gets off the phone and thinks through what happened on that phone call. You know, what was the result? What did I really want to have happen? Is there something I can learn from it to get better the next time I make the phone call? Or it could be as sophisticated as I had annual goals for a year as a company. At the end of the year, what happened? Did we nail the goal? Did we not nail the goal? Essentially, what did we expect to happen? Why did it happen? Why didn't it happen? What can we learn from it so that as we go into the following year, we can think through things we might want to do differently? From a more formal perspective, the agile software development teams have been practicing this for years. And the basic idea is, particularly in Scrum, at the end of a sprint, get together as a team and talk it through and ask a few questions and try to get to what are the learnings that we can take forward into the next sprint and try to do things differently.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's a great point, because I think a big focus for the ebook in particular is, you know, talking about retrospectives, but not limiting it to software development, about applying it to different areas of your organization and the value in that. What can you tell us some examples of how retrospectives can be applied to, you know, different areas for an early stage and startup organization?
Well, I think they can be applied pretty much everywhere. The idea of agile software development, or Scrum in particular, is really an organizing set of principles around anything, not necessarily limiting it to software development. And it's been extended off to marketing as an area that typically teams move to next, but it can actually go organization-wide the way we practice it at OpenView. But the way I think about it is, at the highest level, it's probably annual. Set annual goals at the end of the year, do a retrospective on what happened last year. And the basic questions are really, you know, what happened, what went well and why, what didn't go well and why, and what can we do differently the following year. And that can be broken down into a quarterly retrospective for looking at what happened last quarter versus goals. It could be broken down into a weekly, or it could be broken all the way down into a task. And whether it's done in software development, in marketing, in sales, in professional services, customer service, quite frankly, it doesn't matter as much as the idea of actually trying to rigorously apply the principle of retrospectives.
Right. So I think that sounds great, and I'm sure, you know, people listening might be like, hey, that sounds great, but this is a very team-based and team-oriented initiative, so it's one thing to convince yourself, now you got to convince everybody else. What are some of the challenges and some of the ways to get around, implementing something new like this into an organization? It's certainly a topic that's covered in pretty great detail in the ebook, but what can you tell us about that?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think at an individual level, it takes a lot of discipline as an individual to do an ongoing retrospective of how you're doing and what you're trying to achieve versus what you're achieving. As you get to a team level, it gets even more difficult, because now there's a larger number of people that would be involved in the retrospective. My overarching sense is that it becomes a lot easier once you've practiced them for a while and you actually generate some results. And until you get to that point, it's much, much more difficult to get the team together, to try to get them to practice retrospectives, to get to the point where you actually have some tangible things that you've done differently that actually benefit the team. And when you get to that point, it becomes a lot easier to practice retrospectives. Until that point, it's a lot of cajoling, a lot of really trying to herd cats, depending on your organization.
And but there are some other challenges and issues too. Certainly, even if you after you've been practicing it for a while, you might get to a point where you're just not seeing the value that you want to see out of the retrospective process, and then that's another hurdle to kind of jump and get over and figure out a way around. You know, another issue that's definitely covered in the ebook. But what are some things you can tell us about kind of getting around some of those issues?
Yeah, well, I think the largest issue is that you can go through the motions of practicing retrospectives, but going through the motions actually doesn't get you the best result. What gets you the best result is trying to get the team together and figure out what really could we do differently that's going to make our work lives a lot easier. And so one of the big issues that I find is that it's hard for people to actually be completely transparent. It's hard for people to go into a room and for one person to say, if this person stopped doing this, then my work life would be a lot easier. It's, you know, people have various reasons that they want to withhold kind of complete and utter honesty from an overall organization. And quite frankly, it's hard. It's it takes a lot of work to step back and really say, all right, you know, what are we really not doing that well? People generally like to talk about what they're doing well and like to talk a lot less about, well, what are the issues that we've got that we can actually do, we can actually address and get a lot better at what we're doing. So I think it takes an incredible amount of facilitation to try to pull out of people, you know, what they're really thinking and what is really troubling them or what they actually think is going really well and they'd like to do more of. And the best point I could make is to try to put real effort into having a real open dialogue going. And it's really more moments of kind of clarity and transparency that take place if you work really hard at it. And if you have those moments a few weeks or a few months in a row, you're still likely to fall out of it. You're likely to fall into a trap of, okay, we got to do this meeting. Let's get in a room. Let's get through the meeting. And that doesn't really get you to the absolute right point. And so because people therefore want to get through the meeting, and having this kind of real open dialogue takes some real work from everybody in the room. The best sessions I've seen are when at least one person, but hopefully more than one person, walk into the room and they really want to have open conversation. And quite frankly, sometimes it's the most senior person in the room or most powerful person in the room, if you will, that needs to actually demonstrate and model the openness and maybe throw on the table some of the things that that person thinks they might be doing, that they could be doing less of, that might improve team performance or otherwise are causing a distraction or something, so that other people around the table get the sense that, hey, let's be completely open here and let's throw everything else we got on the table. I mean, to some extent, in my mind, the practice of retrospectives actually is a formal mechanism for people to have to bring forward the issues that they wouldn't normally bring forward because they'd rather not discuss them in their normal work lives. And the practice of retrospectives really gives them a forum where not only are they able to talk about the issues that could be addressed to create better performance, but they're required to talk about the issues that could create better performance. And the more people are feeling like they're supposed to do that, the more it gives them a great vehicle to do that.
Once again, for more information on the practice of retrospectives, be sure to check out our full ebook, The Ultimate Guide to the Practice of Retrospectives. Get Better Faster, The Ultimate Guide to the Practice of Retrospectives. Thanks very much again, Scott, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right, Brendan. Thanks.